we think he has the frame to do that. You know, Ray was, like I said, Ray was a little shorter and a little lighter than Tank at the same stage coming out, and Ray carries, you know, 290 pretty easily and very comfortable at it. So we definitely think there's room for growth, but you never really know till you get your hands on him. And Mark will do a tremendous job with him in the weight room, and we'll get him to the right weight.
Trent, he was pretty insistent that his knee is healthy. Do you guys feel that share that same view, and that he can contribute right at the start of the season?
Well, that remains to be seen. We're very confident in what we know of his condition. Obviously, he was at the combine, and our medical staff took a very close look at him. And we spent several hours yesterday reviewing his file and going through it with all of the doctors up at Stanford. So we feel really good about it. The time frame, that's really up to the medical staff. Probably a little cleaner. It was it's a straight, I believe, ACL injury. You know, I don't want to get into the particulars of it. I mean, everything's been documented to this point. But once again, we feel very comfortable. We spent a lot of time reviewing his file and feel good about the prognosis and what it's going to take to get him on the field.
Would you like to see more substituting in 2013 than there has been previous two seasons along the defensive line?
Well, once again, that's up to the coaches. You know, we like to play our players. You know, there's no doubt about that. And we feel that we're going to be able to do that as we increase the depth and get everyone in, up to speed. But, you know, it's a process. But as far as play time and all that, I don't get into that. That's what the coaches do. I trust them thoroughly to make the right decisions with that. And we leave it at that.
So through four picks so far, you've addressed a lot of the visible holes on the roster. Is it, you really feel that you filled a lot of these needs?
Well, once again, you fill needs if the value's right. You know, and that's the age-old debate, is needs versus best player available. We stick with the best player available format. Now, when it's even, and I think I've explained this a lot of times standing up here, but when the value of a player is similar, you're going to go with need. When the value of a player is not similar and one player clearly is the better player on your board, it's going to be the best player available, which doesn't always reflect need.
Now, what really stood out on the tape from Vance McDonald that they liked
him? The versatility. He's a guy that he's a big guy. He's 260-plus pounds. He's got a huge wingspan. He's got big hands. He lines up all over the place. He lines up a little bit in the backfield. He lines up on the line of scrimmage. He lines up in the wing position, off the line of scrimmage, and he also lines up outside. So, once again, brings that versatility. He's smart. He's tough. And he's a good fit within our system.
Why not take Zach Ertz at 34?
Why not take him?
Why not take him?
We chose to move back.
You traded down. Be there, or were there a few players you were comfortable taking with?
Well, I don't know that you ever trade back, you know, 6, 7, 8 picks, whatever, and hope one player's there. That's risky business. So we had a number of players that we were willing to take, and you know, at that time we felt that one of that group of guys was going to be available at 40, and we'd have been happy with all of them. Well, I guess the answer to that would be yes, because if you remember, you know, Delaney was a wide receiver in college, and Vance has actually played on the line of scrimmage, and he's a much bigger man. You know, Delaney was a shade over 6'2", 240, you know, roughly 240 pounds coming out. This guy's a little over 6'4", and 265-plus pounds coming out. So there's a considerable size difference, and there's a bigger body of work to study as far as Vance blocking versus Delaney coming out. But there, we're not in a comparison, as we've said many a times. You know, Delaney developed into a very competent blocker, so they're different guys.
By taking Olivier, he's more of an outside prototype, outside linebacker.
Yeah, he'll be in the outside linebacker position. Now, he's another one that we feel can fit into the sub-package grouping as well, more on the outside than on the inside. So he'll get in that rotation. And once again, you know, it's all about creating competition. We've got a good group of linebackers, and you know, Corey's going to have to come in and earn his position.
Going back to Kerry, in college he pretty much wasn't in, right, rushing the passer.
He lined up a little bit inside. You know, there's a number of snaps of him. I don't know the exact count without going back to my files, but he lined up inside in their sub package stuff. But the interesting thing was, you know, he's a junior college guy that is a 1-year starter there that was able to play all over the place. He played on the right side. He played on the left side. He moved inside a little bit. So the versatility and the size, all that stuff played into it. And that's what I said earlier. That's what we liked about him, is the versatility. He can line up inside and he can line up outside, whether right side, left side. He's shown he can do that. So that's one of the things that we looked hard at.
With only 1 year of college for that guy, how much development more do you think he needs?
You know, once again, when you're looking at these college guys, they all need development. You know, how soon are they ready to play? I've always said this. That's up to the individual. Some need, you know, come in and adjust rather quickly. Others take a little bit more time. But we're confident that the number one thing with Tank is getting him healthy, getting him ready to play. And that's left up to our medical staff. What that timeline is, you know, I couldn't even forecast that at this time.
What kind of report did you get from Jim Tomsula about Tank?
As far as what?
Relied on your assistant coaches more so this season than previous ones. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't say that's correct. I think the position coaches have always been involved. You know, we said from day one that we were going to, you know, do this thing together. So what we do is everybody does their job. You know, we study as much tape as we possibly can. We don't study it together. We let the position coaches and the coordinators look at the film, evaluate the players, grade the players. We do it on our end separately, and then we come together and we talk about it. And it's a process. But Jim obviously plays a huge role in that, Coach Tomsula, in terms of the defensive linemen. One of the critical factors is making sure that these young men fit the system, that they can do what we're going to be asking them to do. You can't stick around round peg in a square hole, you know. So you got it. They got to fit. And Tank is a guy, and Corey's a guy that fits. Yeah.
This is all four players you drafted all been a byproduct of a trade. So I'm wondering, all those 13 draft picks you had coming in, has that been extremely helpful the way you thought it would be? And has it just been phone ringing off the hook constantly because of that?
Well, there's been a lot of, you know, back and forth. The phone's been very active this year, probably a little bit more active than it's been in the past. And one of the reasons is, you know, we do have a lot of trade bait. So there are teams calling, looking to acquire more picks. And there's times when you want to sit tight. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, people will question, well, why'd you move up five when he would have been there? Well, there's no proof that the player would have been there. So you do what you need to do to make sure you get the players you want to get.
Is it only one phone? It would seem striking that as much as going on, you would have more than one phone.
Yeah, there's four lines in the room.
Okay.
You know, and coach will pick up the phone. I'm on the phone. Prague's on the phone, and even Jed will get on the phone at times. Usually you don't have four phones ringing at once, but so we certainly could be.
Yeah, has it happened? Have you had four guys on the phone once?
Not this year. You know, I think the most that we've had on the lines at one time this year is two. But in the past, we've had times where the phones were ringing.
More? After reworking
Patrick's deal, do you guys have to create any more space to sign your draft picks?
You know, to be honest with you, I'd have to look. I don't believe so. I think that's all we needed to do.
Perfect.
I mean, when in a case like that, is that in a sense where a guy like checks out, you know, based on your interviews or whatever, character-wise and everything, you don't really worry about him just because you know what type of guy he is? Is that part of that?
Well, you know, I've said this. Our scouting staff is outstanding. And I have a lot of faith in the information that they bring back. And when all the stars align and you feel very good about the character of the individual and the learning ability and the intangibles, the film speaks for itself, right? The film, but all those other things, when the stars align, do you really need to tip your hand and let anybody know you're interested in them? Does it do any good to bring them in and interview them again so that people start to think, well, maybe they're interested? Sometimes it's better off to go with the work that your area scouts do, and we do. We put a lot of faith in the information they bring back, and they do an outstanding job. So in this case, the stars aligned, and we were very comfortable with what he could do based on the film. All the other stuff we were comfortable with, so there was no reason to dig any deeper. I don't know. I wasn't on the phone, so. He was very excited. You know? So, I mean, and that's the thing. You do as much homework as you can on these guys, and you gotta trust the information. And once again, fortunate to have guys out there beating the bushes, working as hard as they do, spending as much time as they do away from their families to get this the information and get it right. And you got to roll with it.
Who was the scout in charge of him?
In that area, it would be Matt Malaspina and Joel Patton over the top.
How old is Harry? There's two date of births floating around for him.
There's one. Just check it on the internet.
Well, the internet's wrong. Is he 23 or 24?
Is it in that bio that we put out?
Yeah, listed him as 24.
And I would think that's what he is, 24.
I'll get it to you.